Heritage New Zealand. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, we've received and read the original submission. We've also received and read your pre-circulated evidence. I see you've tabled some extra information today, so what is that?
It's just a summary of my statement, just to kind of kick things off, really. I don't have to read it.
Same as your evidence?
Yep, just a summary of my evidence, yep.
Okay, so normally, I'll put you in terms of an expert somewhere, or someone who's more used to coming to hearings. Normally, I wouldn't let you read this out because the directions were that we'd read the pre-circulated evidence, and that would be that.
That's
with farmers, we're a lot more tolerant, but we've got plenty of time, so if you want to read it out to us,
okay,
that's fine.
Okay. My name is Jane O'Day. I'm the Heritage Advisor Planning for the Otago and Southland Office of Heritage New Zealand and based in Dunedin. Heritage New Zealand's primary interest in the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan is with ensuring that the plan provides an appropriate framework for the management of historic heritage resources where these could be impacted upon by activities managed by the proposed plan. Secondly, Heritage New Zealand is keen to ensure that the approach taken to historic heritage management in the plan aligns as far as possible with the Heritage New Zealand Pohiri Taonga Act 2014 in relation to regulating damage and modification to archaeological sites without creating unnecessary regulatory overlap or duplication. Whilst I consider it important that the Council is aware of the issue of potential duplication of regulatory functions, as outlined in my statement, Heritage New Zealand would accept the relief sought by Ngāi Tahu, this being the reference to sites listed in Te Tangi Ta Atoira within the definition of recorded historic heritage sites, if this is decided to be the most appropriate means of managing effects on sites of cultural significance. Another main point covered in my written statement concerns Objective 13. Heritage New Zealand prefers the notified version of this objective, which acknowledges that in enabling the use of land and soils, adverse effects on amenity, cultural and heritage values should be addressed by avoiding, remedying or mitigating the effects. Simply enabling the use of land and soils without qualification may not support economic, social and cultural well-being, as is implied by the wording proposed in the Section 42A report. In relation to farm management plans, Heritage New Zealand requests that the notified version of Appendix N be adopted, insofar as it requires the location of any known recorded historic heritage site to be identified. This is a straightforward information and awareness tool which will contribute towards the integrated management of historic heritage resources and would not result in any additional regulatory requirements. I support the inclusion of Schedule X. Mm-hmm. This provides information about how the accidental discovery of archaeological sites should be managed, again ensuring that the plan aligns with the Heritage New Zealand Act without introducing additional regulation through the plan itself.
Thank you very much. So thank you again for putting in the original submission, which is very detailed and helpful, and your pre-circulated evidence was of the same nature. We may have some questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd?
Yes, I was going to ask, in your evidence, you talked about Rule 9F, and it refers to there's 1 kilometre downstream of the discharge point.
Yes, yeah.
Would you like to come and just explain that a little bit more? I'm just thinking more around the distance there than that.
What point of my evidence
is
that?
The paragraph reference you want? Is it the submission or the
evidence? I've found it, 9F. So the distance is not something that I have any view on. That I presume that that's something that the council staff have come up with. with, possibly in consultation with Ngāi Tahu. So the distance itself is not something that I'm sort of interested in as such. All I'm saying there is that I presume the rule has been put in to manage effects on cultural values, but if that's not the case, then I don't think the rule is necessary in terms of discharges having effects on any other type of heritage, such as built heritage or structures and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to connect the dots a wee bit here, so excuse me, but I noticed in your primary submission you said there were over 1,500 significant heritage sites. You know, I can understand that. I thought it might have even been higher. But my question is current water management, because they're protected by other acts to which what we're doing is subservient.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to find out where the breakdown is that water management might be impacting on archaeological sites.
Well, it could be impacting, but it could be impacting indirectly, in which case the provisions of the Heritage New Zealand Act aren't necessarily going to come into play. So, for example, things like discharges, and I'm thinking here of, say, irrigator spray and that sort of thing onto ruins or...
But have you got any examples where that is currently happening, or is this just a preemptive statement to ensure it doesn't?
Well, what I'm saying is that the Heritage New Zealand Act is in place to sort of manage the modification and destruction of archaeological sites. So what I'm saying is that the plan doesn't, the plan doesn't also need to require resource consent for impacts on all of those sites. What the plan would be better to do would be to focus on the most significant of those sites rather than all of those sites.
So are you suggesting a schedule or something like that? What are you actually saying here?
Well, I think a schedule of sites of cultural significance would be the best way of dealing with it. So currently, the sites that are subject to the rules of the notified version of the plan haven't. They've been recorded by archaeologists over the years. However, they haven't been subject to significance assessments. So it's not a particularly targeted approach, I guess is what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay,
and that what I would prefer to see would be for the council to work with Ngāi Tahu and perhaps Heritage New Zealand to identify what the most significant sites of those are and apply the rules to those.
Thank you.
Yes, good afternoon. Is it O'Day or Dear?
O'Day.
O'Day. In your evidence that was pre-submitted, mm-hmm. circulated, you're referring at Clause 4.2, deletion of permitted activity standards, and you mentioned the rules. And again, further summarised in the next paragraph. And you mentioned you have a concern with the Rule 73, which is not listed in that heading. Is that because that's...
That might be because Rule 73 wasn't subject to a submission to remove that permitted activity standard, I think.
Right. A submission from yourself or...?
From Kiwi Rail.
Kiwi, Arthur. Yes, right, they were the ones who requested the removal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, You're looking to align to the Waitangi submission so that the NZAA sites or those listed in the iwi plan can be referenced in the rep to the historic heritage.
I've said that I would be comfortable with that if that's decided to be the best approach, but I think a better approach, whether it can be done through this process or perhaps in the future, would be to undertake some more assessment of those listed sites and reduce that down to a more focus more on the most significant ones.
The two separate processes.
It's probably not within the scope of this process to do that, so it would have to be something for the council to consider in the future.
So in terms of this plan, just to be clear, to achieve what you're requesting in your evidence, you would be happy with the note that's still there, that's come through from the Section 42 report?
Under the permitted activity rules. I don't think it's ideal because the way that this plan is set up, a lot of the activities are restricted discretionary activities rather than some other plans I've seen where they have the notes but they're discretionary activities, so there is still scope to consider heritage and cultural values. Whereas with this plan, a lot of the activities are restricted discretionary, so by only having that note, you are deferring on all occasions to the Heritage New Zealand Act and not able to look outside that. So I don't think it's ideal, but perhaps on balance, it might be decided that it's... not the worst outcome that could happen.
Would it be that Section 6, matter of national importance, standard by having the note or not, and not including it within the rule?
I think it goes some way towards sort of satisfying Section 6F, but I think it could go further by retaining the way it was set up in the notified version of the plan.
So I think you mentioned...
But again, like I said earlier, changing the definition of recorded historic heritage sites, but yes, there are issues with that as well.
So I think you mentioned how it's addressed in other plans, regional plans.
Mm.
Did you say that earlier in your statement?
I'm not sure if I mentioned it in my statement, but I know that the Canterbury Water and Land Plan has a sort of a discretionary activity framework with advice notes, and from memory the Bay of Plenty one also does, which is an older plan, but the Canterbury one is a much more recent plan.
A more foolproof coverage. Did you have any suggested wording for Objective 13?
I liked the way it was worded in the notified version.
Thank you.
Thanks.
In terms of in your pre-circulated evidence, you referred to Rule 9F and note that the track changes version of the plan produced by the 42A team didn't show 9F struck out. don't know if you're aware, we've received a revised strikeout version of the plan following the answering of our questions to the officers, and that provision is now recommended to be struck out. Rule 90.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, just at the tail end of your pre-circulated evidence, you say you'd be happy to work with the council to resolve the outstanding issues.
Mm-hmm.
So having read the Section 42A report, just to clarify from my mind, are there still outstanding issues?
Well, I think that there are. I think there are issues that...
Okay, I just needed a yes or no to that.
Okay.
So if you do have outstanding issues, the officers and Mr. McCallum Clark here is representing the 42A team will be doing what's called a reply report for us.
Mm-hmm.
So at the conclusion of the hearing of submissions, the hearing will adjourn for a number of weeks and the officers come back with a revised suite of recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think there's matters that can still be resolved, I'd urge you to liaise with Mr. McCallum Clark directly as a representative of the 42A team and see if you can come up with any kind of agreed solution that can then be included in the reply report for us to consider.
Sounds good. All right.
Thank you very much for preparing your material and coming in and answering our questions. Oh, hang on a minute, I forgot. Commissioner Rodway's not here, but he's got a number of questions that he wants me to ask you. And you weren't, were you here this morning?
No.
No, okay, so this hearing's being recorded, so what I'm going to do is read out his question to you,
mm-hmm.
and that little thing in front of you is a microphone, so that's going to record your answer,
mm-hmm.
so he can then listen to that later on, okay? So his first question is, do the words in Objective 9 relating to historic heritage satisfactorily replace those deleted from Objective 13? And then he says, if not, what do you recommend?
Objective 9 seems to be about quantity of water and surface water bodies,
mm-hmm.
whereas Objective 13 is about enabling the use and development of land, so
yep.
No.
Yep, I thought that might be your answer. And if not, what do you recommend? This is the second part to that question.
I recommend the notified version of Objective 13.
Yep, thank you. And his third question is, what would farmers be expected to do if they had a known and recorded historic heritage site in their property, and how would recording this on the Farm Environment Management Plan help?
Well, it would help by ensuring that they're aware of...
Sorry, so the question was in two parts. What would farmers be expected to do? And secondly, how would having that in the farm plan help? So the first part, what would they be expected to do?
They would be expected to comply with any district plan or regional plan or any provisions of the Heritage New Zealand Act that govern modification or damage to the site.
Yep.
How including that in the farm management plan would help would be that they would be aware of the location. They would be aware of the presence of the site, the location of the site, and it would enable them to put in place any measures that they see fit to ensure that the site is avoided. For example, it could be fenced off.
Right. Okay, thank you very much for that. Thanks again for coming along.
Thank you.